AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Former President Trump's rallying voters right now in New Hampshire just hours after winning an endorsement from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
I appreciate that, and I also look forward to working with Ron and everybody else to defeat crooked Joe Biden. We will have to get him out. We have to get him out.
CBS's Robert Costa has more now from Manchester.
Ultimately, this decision came down to political viability, according to two people close to the Florida governor. They said that DeSantis wanted to stay in, but didn't see a path ahead to the nomination, and started to acknowledge privately that former President Donald Trump was likely to be the nominee.
Nikki Haley is still in the race, but polling second in New Hampshire. And President Biden skipping New Hampshire altogether to stump with Vice President Kamala Harris this week in Virginia. But this woman's still rooting for him from the Granite State.
Trying to save democracy. Because if we have Trump again 4 more years, it's going to be a disaster for the country.
Abortion is expected to be a big issue for Biden this week. A desperate search for two Navy SEALs is over.
The U.S. Navy has called off the search for two Navy SEALs lost at sea while trying to board a ship carrying weapons from Iran to the Houthis in Yemen. The boarding took place last week in 7-foot seas off the coast of Somalia. The first SEAL lost his grip on the ladder as he was trying to climb aboard, and the second SEAL dove in after him.
That's CBS's David Martin. The military has not released their names yet. Here at home, at least 94 people have now died in sub-freezing temperatures across the country. But the cold is expected to finally let up in a few days. Meteorologist Jacob Wyckoff's in Boston.
We start to see a few snow showers arrive into the area as we go into late Tuesday night and into Wednesday. Doesn't look like a big storm, but it does look like snowfall nonetheless.
A new study shows a growing number of Americans are feeling better about their economic futures. Here's CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics says Americans' perceptions are finally catching up with reality.
They're seeing the low unemployment, lots of jobs, wage growth is strong. It's stronger than the rate of inflation, so their real incomes, purchasing power is improving.
Another perk? Prices at the pump nationwide are averaging about $3 a gallon for regular unleaded.
AAA says California drivers are still paying the most at $4.50 a gallon. And the plastics are still pulling rank at the box office. Mean Girls banked another $11.7 million for the number one spot in theaters this weekend. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you ever jumped in an ice-cold lake for a good cause? It's Polar Plunge fundraising time for Special Olympics Wisconsin. 8 locations with the first February 3rd in Wisconsin Rapids. It helps support the Special Olympics Winter Games in Wausau the following weekend.
Our Winter State Games include the sports of cross-country skiing, downhill skiing, snowboarding, and snowshoeing.
Ashley Hansen is with Special Olympics and says the plunge also supports fair health care for their athletes.
Offering new training for medical staff is really important to make sure that people with intellectual disabilities are receiving the same care that you or I would.
Find information for the Plunge, Winter Games, and more at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 13. South winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour at times. For Monday, cloudy skies, 30 degrees. Some freezing drizzle or snow from Monday night into Tuesday. Lows in the mid-20s, highs on Tuesday around 33.
Right now, it's 15.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut, number 47. Mm-hmm. Seth and James here with you, and just us this show.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have some
us.
Fun. We haven't gotten to do this in a little while. Mm-hmm. Seth and I are going to have some fun with the show. We're going to get into Oscar buzz, talk a little bit about that. I will mention a little bit about the voting process and some of those things.
That's really cool. I think people will be interested in that.
We'll definitely get into that. Also want to talk about not only new movies for 2024, some of the up-and-coming movies that people are jacked about, but also the box office in general, how we are coming out of 23 going into 24. We've had some blockbusters already released that haven't seen the best of numbers.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get you into that a little bit. We'll touch on all these things and we'll see what else we have room for.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But getting into the Oscar buzz, we're not going to go through every single category. No. We're not going to go with best foreign film or something like that.
No.
But I do want to get into best supporting actor, best supporting actress, best film, some of the big ones.
Sure.
And some of the more heavy categories this year.
Right.
But as far as the voting process goes, back in 2008, I was fortunate to be brought into the Screen Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at the time, but as a guild member, you were able to vote and you are required to vote on SAG and Oscar voting.
Okay.
And I do mean required. They will bug you. I've only had this happen 1 year, but 1 year I didn't get my stuff in on time, and I was reprimanded for it. I was scolded very harshly for this.
One job. No.
Tom Hanks showed up at my house. No, I'm joking.
That'd be hilarious.
It'd be awesome. That'd be so awesome. It'd be worth like being late on it.
Yeah, right.
What they do in years past, and this has changed a little bit overall, and I can only give so many details,
right.
But I can tell you what usually happens is they send you an email, and it has links to these things. So we're going to get into Best Supporting Actor first.
Okay.
And with that, there are some big, big dogs that are up
there
for
this. There really is, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, Mark Ruffalo, some of these guys from the movies Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
So with those three actors, and I'm just using them three as an example, I got links to these movies, to certain scenes that feature them.
Okay. Yep.
Now,
they used to send out tapes.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the what do they call them? The something real. I can't remember.
Dailies is what we used to call it, like on set when we're filming.
Right.
I don't know. I don't remember the term. I know what you're talking about. But now, yeah, it's a
little
easier.
It's all online now. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And these links expire. That you have only so much time to look at them before, so that you can't just continue to use them or anything.
Right, right.
And it kind of keeps it, you know, kind of in-house a little bit more.
Yep.
With that, you check these out. But the interesting thing to me, I think, is, like, say I get Best Editor, and Oppenheimer's up for Best Editor. I will get a different clip. I won't get the Robert Downey Jr. Clip they sent me, or the Cillian Murphy clip they'll send me.
Yeah, makes
sense.
They'll
send me something specifically that shows the editing work in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they take the detail to this.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people that look from the outside in, and I don't blame them for this, you would think, well, Hollywood cares about this, this, and this, and they don't care about this other stuff. It's just in there. As far as from what I've been able to tell and see, they do. They care about the best boy. They care about the grip guy.
Yeah.
They care about these things. Most of the good people in the industry understand we don't get to do what we get to do without these people.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a real – this is an opportunity for us to not give a tip of the hat to people we don't always get a chance to.
Right. Or the people that might not be as interested to the general public. But it's definitely – well, and it makes sense. These are industry awards. They should go to the, you know, the important people in the industry, the backline folks.
It's also noteworthy that this whole process starts with us giving nominees, and there are a lot of guild members, so I cannot imagine the amount of emails amount of like names that they get and everything.
That's amazing.
For example, because we don't know, the awards have not been announced yet, the nominees have not been announced yet. One of the names that I put into the running was William Dafoe. For Poor Things, and there isn't a lot of talk about him being nominated. A lot of people don't think that he's necessarily going to get the nod. But for me, not only his performance stood out, but it's William Dafoe. We've never really gotten to award him. We've never really gotten to honor him.
So give him an honor. Yeah, exactly.
And this is where it gets a little bit interesting to me. It goes back to when I was a kid and seeing Samuel Jackson lose out on Best Supporting Actor for Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Martin Landau won the award that year for Ed Wood. Mm-hmm. And nobody in their right mind is going to have a problem with Martin Landau winning an Oscar when he's never won one, and he deserved one.
Right.
But it's also not Samuel Jackson or the people that voted that year's fault that Martin Landau didn't win one yet.
That's
like,
true.
That's years past.
Yeah.
The fact that he should have won one and everything, I agree, but I don't think that that should be, well, Samuel Jackson misses out on winning one, and he's not been nominated since. And who knows if he's going to get another opportunity.
Right.
So then what happens to Samuel Jackson? What, you know, it's not to say that there's a perfect way to do this, mm-hmm. or it's a just system, but I do think that it's important that integrity-wise, we stick with the year. I'm the biggest Robin Williams fan you're ever going to know. Had Robin not won an Oscar, and he's still with us and all this and everything,
right.
I wouldn't be voting, now that I get to vote, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be voting for him just because, well, Robin didn't do as good of a job in this one, but he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right, and I don't think that's what Robin would want, and I have a hard time believing that's what Martin Landau wanted.
Or most actors, for that matter, or anyone, I guess, that's nominated. I think it goes back to something you have said in the past about, for you personally, the nomination is the important thing.
Yes.
Not necessarily winning, because I think part of that is that we know what goes into it. These things are all taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. The Lifetime Achievement Oscar, you know, they call it that, even though it's not really. Well, and I think, you know, using your example, Martin Landau and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson, relatively young, you know, he's like, oh, he's going to have plenty of chances to do this.
Exactly.
And, well, that's not true. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And that's a great example.
I hope that kind of with, if I could be honest, with younger generations, that kind of corrects itself a little bit.
It would be nice.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I mean, kind of the gist of the voting process and everything. There's not a whole lot to it. It's... Mm-hmm. I'm positive that people that have a lot more of a bigger mm-hmm. IMDb page than I do have a lot more could give you a lot more information on it.
I'm going to beat a dead horse because I've been saying this for years and years. Release the vote totals.
Yeah,
the Academy release. I mean, I kind of get why they don't, but at the same time, think of all that could generate. It's a really close one. Look at how close they were. Or, oh, it was a landslide, you know, unanimous kind of. Well, it's never going to be unanimous, but,
no,
you know, it was like a
landslide.
Everyone agreed on this. I think that would just generate more interest, more discussion, more debate. And that's good for the Academy.
It certainly seems to work well for, the Heisman Trophy, a lot of other things
that do that. Now.
Sports live off of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We make, debate television for hours and days off of that kind of thing. Imagine what the entertainment industry could do off of it.
It could be really interesting,
I couldn't agree more with you on that. So, looking at some honorable mentions, Sterling, looking at Best Supporting Actor,
mm-hmm.
Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Colman Domingo in The Color Purple, all good actors. Mm-hmm. Charles Melton in My December. Looking at the top five that they're seeing here, we're seeing mostly on this list, on most people's lists. Jamie Bell from All of Us Strangers, Mark Ruffalo from Poor Things, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that I have William Dafoe as my outside looking in. Mm-hmm. I think that Dafoe has an opportunity to get in, but I don't know if he will be nominated.
It'll be interesting to see.
I have already, you know, put in my stuff. And since mm-hmm. they don't release these kind of things, and it really, there is no accountability. It's not as if I'm, for one, even if I was fortunate to work with one of these other actors, it's not as if they're going to be, hey, I heard on Director's Cut that you didn't vote. very few actors pay attention or
I'm
care
sure they,
about
yeah,
those things.
Right.
But I personally, while I think all of these performances are noteworthy and all great, and in other years might have won, especially Mark Ruffalo's performance, it is hands down easily Robert Downey Jr.'s award.
Mm.
Hands down. I don't have any even thought or question about this. I don't know if this has ever happened to me before. And I've only been voting since 2008. But I've never watched a movie before and in the middle of the movie thought, well, that's the guy I'm nominating for. that's the guy I'm nominating.
While you're watching the movie. Wow.
I've never thought about that before. And I was so enthralled and so wrapped up in Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. It's a 2.5-3 hour movie.
Right.
I planned on, and I have no time. I have no free time. So I planned on, okay, I'm going to watch half of it now, the half later. I couldn't turn it off. It was so good. It was so good. And part of what was great is, Christopher Nolan does a great job with setting the scene, with editing, with his use of sound and everything, but he is so good at casting.
Mm.
And this is not a character that I think most people would picture Robert Downey Jr. taking, wanting, and let alone doing a good job with. It may be his best acting performance, and I think that's saying something.
And that is saying something. Two-time Oscar winner himself. He's been nominated, what, 8 times or something like that? We know how good he is, but if he's reached that point now, wow, that's pretty cool.
It's going to be so cool to see what happens with this category, because in my book, you can't lose. Not really. I'm glad you touched on this, man, because I think it's an important aspect of all this conversation. Most actors, most people in this industry, getting nominated truly is the win. Like, you've already won. Getting the award and everything, that's cool. Yeah, most people would like that.
Oh, of course.
Very few people are going to turn that down.
A nice conversation piece on your mantle. Look at that. Got an Oscar? Where'd that come from?
Unless you're Marlon Brando, I guess. Right. Most people ain't going to turn this down.
True.
But it is truly the act of being nominated that goes so far for people.
It's your peers. These are people that, you work with and you have respect, and to show their respect for you, that means a lot. That's got to mean a lot in any job you're in, getting the respect of your peers is so important. And they're, it's dramatic. They're actors. Come on. This is what, most people in the Academy are actors. We got to make sure we put that out there too.
Yes.
So they are peers. And I think that's the big thing about it is your mutual respect.
It looks like for the predicted nominees for Best Supporting Actress, Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers, Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, Julianne Moore from May December, and Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Sandra Hüller for The Zone of Interest. Mm. I hope you're all sitting down. It may shock you. I did not vote for Jodie Foster.
Ooh, that is a surprise.
That is shocking. It's shocking to me to even say it out loud, and I hope she doesn't hear that, because I love you, Jodie. You're one of my biggest influences. I personally thought that Julianne Moore in May December did an amazing job, and I love her work. Another one of these times where it's a win-win, because not only did she, I think, earn it, but you get a chance to give a tip of the hat to Julianne Moore.
One of our most underrated, fabulous actors. I mean, her body of work, just the consistency.
Yeah.
She is so good time. To me, it's a little surprising she hasn't got, won an Oscar yet.
Yeah.
But I would love to see it won on its own merits, like we've been talking about. It's like, no, this performance is the reason she gets that Oscar. And you heard it here first, folks. He's not voting for one of his favorite people of all time. Because he's doing it the right way. So that's...
I'm just hang on 1 second. I want to see if I can change my vote. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I wouldn't anyway. I really would.
Right.
I'm very, very... I feel very strongly about this. Mm-hmm. But I want to also be clear, too. I know what I said about the Robert Downey Jr. performance, but outside of that one, in every other single category, it could go to anybody else, and I'd be cool with it. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody else to me really stood out and did a great job. It's just by a hair, certain performances over
a little bit
others.
Here, a little bit there, yeah.
And let's wrap up with talking about Best Picture.
Okay.
The big dog, the big one. On the bubble going into this, I would say, and there are 12 nominees now. So it's a little like
that's
the college football playoff.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's hard not to get in sometimes. But I think that it's an interesting list. On the bubble, The Color Purple. Now, that is an interesting one because the previous incarnation of that, I believe, did win Best Picture.
It did.
Yes, it did. Yeah. So interesting to see a movie kind of nominated twice almost.
That is a little odd. That doesn't happen very much.
You don't see that very often. American Fiction, it's locked in for picture, actor, adapted screenplay. That is an interesting one. And some great performances in it. I'm hearing Maestro might be nominated, and I'm a little surprised by that because I feel a little bit bad for Bradley Cooper with this. He worked for 6 years on this to get mm-hmm. this character down. He put so much of his talent, his time, his money, his blood, sweat, and tears into this. And all anybody can talk about, including myself, is this horrible prosthetic nose he put on that makes him look very anti-Semitic. And even though I know Bradley Cooper is not anti-Semitic, like it's not a good look, literally and metaphorically. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's gonna go. But if it does get nominated, I kind of wish him well with it. And mm-hmm. I almost feel good for him because he's not going to get nominated for Best Performance, I don't think. He may. He's a very liked guy. And
yeah,
we haven't talked about this, but there is certainly the elephant in the room of politics involved in this. Well, we did touch on it a little bit with Walter Matthau, but Martin Landau. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I keep mixing those names up. They're nothing alike, and neither actor is anything Walter alike. Matthau,
there's M's, I guess. I know.
Okay, maybe that. Thank you. Thank you. You're such a good teammate. It'll be interesting to see where some of these things fall mm-hmm. when it comes to that it's right on the fence kind of thing.
Right.
One of my favorite movies of last year, The Holdovers, I think for sure going to be nominated.
Okay.
And Paul Giamatti, maybe the one actor that can steal best actor from Cillian Murphy. I don't know how you give that award to anybody else this year than Cillian Murphy.
That's a tough one, man. He's definitely the front runner.
He's got to be. Yeah. But Paul Giamatti's performance in The Holdovers is both beautiful, aggravating, and heartbreaking. I get goosebumps thinking about
the whole
gamut.
Yeah, that's tough to beat.
Such a good actor. And The Holdovers is such a good movie. That's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Poor Things, the feminist spin on Frankenstein is this year's Shape of Water. This could be mm-hmm. one of those ones where nobody sees it coming and it steals everything.
Right. It's one of those. Maybe we're inventing something. Prestige horror?
Yeah.
Can we call it that?
I think that's a good
one. Guillermo del Toro is the guy who kind of brought horror up to that next level. And we're kind of seeing more and more of that, which is really cool, I think.
I couldn't agree more. Because I'm not a big horror guy.
No.
But that stuff, I really dig. I really get into it.
They got real drama. They got real stuff in it, not just the scares and all that. Yeah.
And I feel like there's even a bit of suspense to it.
Oh,
The thing that I never really realized as a kid enjoying Hitchcock movies and liking so much of Agatha Christie and some of these is the setup. The build, the build to the moment. Now it's all about jump scares and things like that. I don't find that scary, but the build up can really do it. Mm-hmm. And I think Gear has taken a bit of that mm-hmm. all along with the modern techniques and technology that we have.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that they're continuing that.
Yeah, yeah. Some great performances in that one, too. I'm excited to see both for the actors and the movie mm-hmm. itself where it goes.
Yeah.
Barbie will be nominated for Best Picture.
It will be.
It's really, now, normally in years past, when you see like Transformers nominated for Best Picture or something, we understand, okay, that's just so that fans of that movie will hopefully watch the Oscars.
Absolutely, now, yes.
Not the case with this one. This movie actually does belong in the Best Picture category.
I'm going to take a quick little side trip here because I think the Best Director nominations, I think that's going to be the most interesting one because obviously Nolan is going to be nominated mm-hmm. for Oppenheimer. Greta Gerwig will be nominated for Barbie.
Yeah.
I think, boy, as good as Oppenheimer is,
yeah.
What has more of the director's stamp on it?
Yeah.
And I think you got to go with Barbie on that.
Yep.
She took something and completely turned it to the way she wanted it. And that's amazing how she was able to do that. Man, if I got a vote, I think as good as Oppenheimer, I would vote for her just because her vision was so there and she figured out how to do it, which is amazing to me.
Now, here's one where I show my hypocrisy a little bit. Okay. And I think that's important. I purposely did not bring this up earlier, hoping that we'd have an opportunity. And you just gave me the
open. Oh, I opened the door for you. There you go.
Because I do believe you should get this on merits and I do believe it should be this year and this year mm-hmm. alone. But in the back of my head, I know Christopher Nolan has won an Oscar before,
mm-hmm.
and I think Greta deserves this Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So that I know that he's already won, I have an easier time voting for her, which is what I did. I voted for her for Best Director, and that's part of why I did, just mm-hmm. to take you through the process. And I'm sure that many other people that vote on these
things are doing similar things. They thought about all these things, yeah.
But it does show a little bit of the hypocrisy of it, and you have to own that.
Well, and it's hard not to. I mean, you take all of this stuff into consideration. So, yeah.
The big one, of course, is Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. I almost forgot. Killers of the Flower Moon. That's another one. That brings up the interesting debate and conversation about, does streaming count? Should streaming be included in this conversation and all that?
That's a tough one. I think in the future, as we move forward, I think it's going to have to be. Mm-hmm. We don't know the future of theaters at this moment. Oh, you know, so it's I'm not saying they're going to go away or
but it's a good point.
But it's up in the air. What is it going to be? They're kind of figuring that out, feeling that out. What is it going to be in the future? So if someone makes what's called a film, but it ends up just on, you know, streaming or whatever, I think they're going to have to. I think they're going to have to figure that out.
Killers of the Flower Moon tell a story that is not common knowledge, and I think that's a very important note of this, mm-hmm. and Hollywood does also like those kind of stories. When mm-hmm. you get a chance to have a Schindler's List or something like that, you have mm-hmm. a topic that people think they know, they vaguely know, but mm-hmm. they don't know the inner details of. Hollywood loves being able to highlight those kind of movies. There's some really... It's been very interesting to see in the last couple of years the rise in support for Native Americans and Native American culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's noteworthy to this, too.
I agree.
So I would not be shocked to see that pull off Best Picture.
That's an interesting conversation. And I think it has to do with the wheelhouses of the directors of those, Martin Scorsese mm-hmm. and Christopher Nolan. I totally agree with you. Killers Flower Moon. Sorry, is you know, a great story. It's mm-hmm. fascinating. It's history. You know, just like Oppenheimer is. But it's still kind of Martin Scorsese's wheelhouse. You know, that's kind of what he's really good at, kind of thing. I think Nolan took kind of a risk. Yes. He doesn't do historical movies. No. He's never done this before. No. I guess Dunkirk kind of was, but
true.
But this was a little bit different for him. It's pretty much straightforward.
Even different than Dunkirk, and it's based on a book. And Dunkirk was as much as we have American ties to it, a kind of foreign story, if you will.
It's focused on Europe, British and stuff like that. Yeah,
Oppenheimer is an American story
through and through.
It has all the, and this is the one we'll wrap up on, mm-hmm. the one that I voted for Best Picture, and I think that is going to win Best Picture.
I agree.
If anybody is going to sweep award season, it's Oppenheimer.
Yes, I agree.
But as a side note, I don't think anybody's going to sweep the awards this year. I think it's going to be a mixed bag.
It'll be a little bit more interesting than that.
You're going to see probably Oppenheimer come out of it with the most Oscars, mm-hmm. but I don't think they're going to sweet by any means.
Yeah.
But Oppenheimer is the Oscar-friendly biopic that Hollywood loves. Going back to Ray, Walk the Line, mm-hmm. Any movies like this. And it also has the ties to World War II, another thing that Hollywood
World War II movies, yep.
And it tells a true story that is not necessarily common knowledge. Even to generations that grew up during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was so much that was hidden, wasn't able to be released until many, many years later.
Right.
This is one of those times where I don't just recommend people see this movie, and I never do that, but I highly recommend people see Oppenheimer. I also recommend you read the book.
Yes.
Both are noteworthy, and I think if you are, and this is just me talking here, if you are a proud American, I think you have to see this movie. I think you have to do it for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. One of them, giving credit to J.D. Oppenheimer and the people that created this, that did this, that put their time into this, that risked not only their lives, their careers, their families, and all of that for this act and mm-hmm. to do this thing, to end a war, to end maybe our worst war, or at least at the time our worst war. But also to give some credit, because as this happened, Einstein told Oppenheimer this would happen,
mm-hmm.
and it did.
Yep.
And now here's a chance for us in history to give credit where it deserves,
mm-hmm.
and to and the true story, the whole story,
right.
Not just the parts that we like
the heroic scientists doing the thing, and then there was an aftermath,
right.
And it was wow, yeah.
To me, the act of being an American is not just USA, USA, but accountability along with USA, USA. You could do both, and I think that's important.
If you love your country as much as you say you do, you have to point out the blemishes. You need to point out where, hey, we're not doing so good here. Maybe we should do something about that.
How do we treat family?
Yeah.
We treat family that way. We should treat our country the same way we 100%. Treat family. Good segment. That was fun. Be ready for the Oscars. They're coming up next month. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And enjoy, everybody. And we'll come back with more fun here on Director's Cut. We're going to talk about movies coming up in 2024.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Director's Cut. Seth and James behind the mics. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Do want to take a side note to not only thank the best listeners in radio for promoting and helping support this show,
yeah,
but remind all you creatives out there, we got a chair open here.
We do.
We want you on the show. Mm-hmm. We are already booking up for 2024 and getting some great guests lined up and everything, but we got plenty of room. We do a show every Sunday, everybody.
Yeah, as much as we can, yeah.
There are artists out there, there are creatives out there that you know, that we want to have on this show. Mm-hmm. So reach out to us, our team. You can do that a number of different ways. You can email me or Seth, james.maleff@civicmedia.us, seth.habhager@civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Call our station. Direct message us on Facebook. However you got to get a hold of us, reach out to us and get on the show. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you.
We're going to take some time to talk about what's coming up in 2024, mm-hmm, and some of the big releases coming out. Before we do that, though, Seth, I do want to just touch on for a moment 2023 and the box office numbers. Hmm. As we are in winter, there were some we've had a frigid start to the beginning of the holiday box office to the 2024 box office season.
Right, yeah.
For those that don't know, the December numbers do play into January into further months.
Okay.
So they are paying attention oftentimes, even though there has been kind of a dip in the big Christmas release. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say almost the Lord of the Rings movies were the end of that.
Right.
And we really haven't seen it come back since
then. Has it been that long?
I hadn't thought about that really, but yeah, it kind of has been. You'll see Christmas movies come out here and there and stuff, but
yeah,
for the most part, you don't see a lot of big box office movies come out anymore.
Not usually, no.
Now, this year we had Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom come out, and as most people know by now, that did not have a big box office release. It put in about estimated 28 mil.
Okay.
And it was projected to have about overall a domestic office of 40.
Oh.
So you were not making your money back. You were not going to end up in the black on that one.
Mm-mm.
To be fair, this was a DC kind of like cleaning house.
Yes.
You know, they would like to make their money back, but this was not going to affect DC's plans going forward.
Anything they could get for it, I think, would have been fine. Yes. Yeah, at this point.
But and I'm not just picking on that. The Iron Claw, Anyone But You, Migration, all these movies did way under expectations. And that's an uncomfortable feeling if you're the movie industry going into 2024. The Color Purple did well, but Michael Mann's Ferrari, George Clooney's The Boys in the Boat, some of these other movies just have not stood up and done very well.
Kind of disappeared, yeah.
And I think that that's just as noteworthy as it is going into this season, that there is only one big Marvel release.
That's right.
Marvel is Deadpool 3. It's going to hit theaters July 26th.
Mm-hmm.
The DC big reboot planned is all for 2025.
Yep.
So there is an opening. there is an opening this year for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be a new Mad Max movie, Ferocia, coming out. Okay. There is a Joker movie coming out, but that is not considered necessarily a superhero movie.
It's a little to the side.
Yeah, it's
a little different.
So there is openings here, and I think that Hollywood noticed this too. There's going to be a new fresh installments from the Alien franchise, Despicable Me. Beetlejuice has one coming out that I know a lot of people are excited about. We're going to see a lot of that this year.
Okay.
And we've already seen a bit of it.
We have.
Mean Girls.
That's right. Yeah.
And did very well. The kind of reimagining of that story and continuation of that. And there's some other big ones coming out. I actually have an article here that has from Empire, Fandango did a survey to find out what people are most excited for in 2024.
Okay.
So let the people speak for themselves here, not just what I think is going to be right. cool coming out or what you might think. At number 10, A Quiet Place Day One looks like a prequel to the Quiet Place movies. It kind of tells how that happened.
Yeah.
Being honest, I have nothing against those movies. I love John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. Mm-hmm. I like both of them a lot as individuals and as a couple.
As a couple and even together in movies. They got great chemistry together,
They're really
too.
Good together, yeah. I haven't seen those movies, though. I have not seen them, just to be honest. I haven't seen them. But I support them and very happy for them.
It seems those are more like, I know they're not, they were kind of called horror movies, so they're more like thrillers, if you ask me. They're more in that genre.
Gladiator 2 coming out. this has Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington as a part of it. I think James McAvoy, I want to say, or somebody else is in it. I'm not sure about this one.
That's
I'm going to see it because of Denzel. I mean, I'll be honest.
I'm with you on that one, if nothing else, because, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
That makes you perk up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, boy, was there a movie that really didn't need a sequel? That's one of them.
Right, yeah.
Honestly, I thought it was weak to begin with.
Absolutely.
I don't know how it won the Oscar, honestly.
I have no
but
idea how that one won.
That was so
I don't
weird.
Know. I wasn't voting back then, man.
Nothing,
I don't know how that happened.
No problem. I like Ridley Scott. He's a great director.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some really interesting things in his career, but really? That's what he... Well, all right. Okay.
I love Ridley Scott. And I would work for free for that man. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how that one...
Anyway.
A lot of people excited about it, though. Lord of the Rings, the War of Rohirrim. It's an animated prequel.
Ooh.
That could be interesting on a number of levels. One, we already know that the Lord of the Rings franchise is well loved, and it's going to get numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get people to show up for it.
If nothing else, just to see what it's, yeah.
But I wonder, and I admit this might be a bit of a reach, but I wonder if generations like ours, Seth, that grew up with the animated Hobbit movie,
mm-hmm.
if there might be a tie to that. It might be a callback, a nostalgia, a pullback for people. Again, it's a reach, but I don't know. I wonder if like some of the numbers of people that come in and go see the movie go because of those reasons.
I'm fascinated by that because there were the two that they did on TV. Rankin Bass, of course, the famous animators did The Hobbit, and then they did the final one, Return of the King.
Yeah.
And there's also the famous, infamous Ralph Bakshi. Was going to make two movies.
Didn't even think of that.
And that one was, boy, talk about a polarizing movie.
Yeah.
People hate it. Some people think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And wow, fascinating. So it's got a weird track record with animation. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with it. You're right, though. It's gonna pull the people in. I mean, look at what happened with The Rings of Power. You know, that was big and everything. So it'll be interesting.
That Amazon series, I talked about this on the air. I don't think it was the greatest thing I ever seen or anything, but I watched every episode. And they, I got to admit, no spoilers, but they wrapped it up incredibly.
Right.
If you're a fan of the series, if the books and everything...
Mm-hmm.
They did such a great job of like, this is for the people that read the books.
Yes.
And I thought that was a rave choice, let alone spending billions on that series.
Well, yeah. And because if you saw it, there's a lot of stuff they added, which you have to do. I mean, considering the source material, it's like legends. You can't just put that on the screen.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. But the way they incorporate it, absolutely.
Another one that everybody's excited about coming out in 2024, Inside Out 2, animated film. The first one had Amy Poehler, Lewis Black, Tony Hale, each one of them playing different emotions.
Correct. As a father of younger kids, I have seen the first one. I have to give the voice cast huge kudos for that one. They were fabulous. I think this is a no-brainer that they brought them all back to do it again. And now they're, I guess, introducing teenage hormones.
Yeah.
That's the whole story.
Oh, that should be fun.
I think it'll be just as fun. Most Pixar movies at least have something to cleverness or whatever and fun. This is probably going to be another good one.
And here's something that we're probably going to see, not just in 24, but going forward a little bit more. Not just kids' movies, but mid kids movies. Where do you know you got kids movies and then you got adult movies, but where do like 12, 13, 14, 15 year olds, what about movies for them? The Harry Potter movies were kind of that for quite a while, but there hasn't been a real genre for that in quite some time. Yeah,
maybe Hunger Games a little bit.
Oh yeah. Good
so
point. Yes,
that
good
would
point.
Be one, but you know, that's not a lot though. We're just mentioning a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that should be kind of cool, seeing more movies kind of geared towards that. Despicable Me 4 is going to be coming out. Steve Carell recast in that one, of course. Those movies do well.
They do well. I've seen like the first one, I think, and that's it. So,
Me too. Yeah, my dad seems to love them though. My dad loves those movies. Venom 3, another big one coming out, and one of the few superhero movies being released in next year.
You know, I've not seen the other two Venom movies, and I'm just not interested, honestly.
I get it.
I am not interested. As much as I love Spider-Man,
right?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Tom Hardy, too. I think that's part of it.
And this is, according to him, this is his swan song with the role. This will be the last time he plays the role. Of course, with superhero movies, if a cameo shows up here or there or something, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
But that one has got a lot of people excited, and it is looking at a November release for that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A couple of, and we wrap up with a lot of big ones here. Dune Part 2.
I'm ready for that one.
Me too.
I like the first one. I'm ready for the second one.
I was a lover of the movie as a kid, the original. I loved it as a kid. It'd play on WGN all the time. Why they played that in the afternoon on WGN, almost unedited, I don't know. But yeah, they did quite a bit.
They do that with David Lynch films, right?
Right. But I went into it like, okay, this has got an insane cast. One of the biggest casts you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy Chalamet, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Zendaya. You've got a bunch
Stellan
of great Skarsgård. With
his, that really, wow, now. Nasty role.
I think William Dafoe's in it too. Yeah, it is a nasty, nasty role from him.
Yep.
And it's, of course, based on the books, which a lot of people enjoy too. But it's just Daniel Villanueva is just one of these directors that is different. He sees things differently, man. And
yeah.
His attention to detail, some of the work that he's done.
Right.
It's so cool to see. Him alone, I think, makes me want to see a movie.
Yeah. Well, and it's a passion project for him.
Yes.
This is the one he always wanted to make.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that the first one was successful enough they were able to do, because you got to continue the story.
Yeah.
Because when you get to the end and the epicness of it, man, you got it. You can't just leave people hanging. Can't do that.
This is a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the middle piece. There will be a third.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to note too.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to that Dune Part 2.
Shout out to Timothy Chalamet. Kind of made his bones with that role, and he pulled it off. He made it stick together for someone so young. That was amazing.
I am just walking around with my fingers tied and knocking on wood every chance I get, because I just want this young man to have a great life and to continue to work. I am so excited
about his career.
He's so good right now.
I know.
And he's one of these kids that continues to try to get better too. So where could he be in 5 years from now?
It's exciting.
Please don't do anything silly. Please. Don't get canceled,
please,
kid. Please
no,
stay.
No.
Just keep on the path. I actually think he will. He seems pretty down to earth. He seems like one of those ones that you've got to worry about. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, also going to be released in 2023. I'm excited about this one. I was on the fence with the other one. They blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was one of the best kind of like reimagining, continuing
stories. I have forgotten about that, and I still haven't seen Afterlife. I know I have to. That was I know for when I was a kid, seeing Ghostbusters was formative. I mean, it's still, it has not aged great,
no.
You know, the original.
Yeah.
But It's still a fun movie. It's got some great lines. You know, I quote them all the time. Oh, you know, oh, yeah. But I'm willing to give these ones a try just because I haven't. And now I got to see the first one before I see this one. But I am interested. I think I will do that.
I'm a huge fan of Paul Rudd. I've seen everything he does, and I'll watch everything he does. But what I think really brought people home to this one in particular was not only bringing back Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and that, but was the idea of like, oh, we get to see what happened to these characters. And the tip of the hat to Harold Ramis. I've never seen anything like it. And the way that movie, the end of that movie, there's a scene in there that I've never seen to happen in a movie before when honoring a fallen actor.
Right.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say fallen actor. Oh, an actor who's passed away.
Passed away.
Yeah. I was just talking Veterans Affairs with a set of the tests, so that's in my head. But I think that is part of what brought this home, that movie, and why it was successful, and why I do think Frozen Empire has a chance to be successful.
I hope so.
No idea if it will be or not. That's one of those ones where they're really, they're nervous. They're nervous. They need this one. They don't need it to do well, but they're really hopeful it does, because I don't think it was a guarantee that they were going to do a sequel to it.
Oh, no, not at all. And I think this is one of those that has a chance. You can't go just on nostalgia on this. You have to update it. You have to figure out new ways of doing it. And hopefully they did that.
Beetlejuice 2 being released September 6th. Again, Tim Burton behind the camera for this one. Interesting to see some of the producers on this one. Brad Pitt is an executive producer on this movie.
Really?
In part because, like many of us, he grew up loving the original. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those ones where I don't think... Tim Burton and I don't see eye to eye much anymore. But I will say, I don't think this is necessarily something he came out wanting to do. Mm. That this was his idea.
Okay.
It came from a lot of people, including people like Brad Pitt and actors that were on them in the original, that really thought, hey, we should tell this story again. This story actually would hit home more nowadays than I think it did when the original came out. That's according to them.
Right.
We'll see.
We'll see. I really enjoy the first movie. I watched it many times when I was younger. I'm really not excited about this. If I miss it, I don't care. I really don't. I guess I don't have a... I'm not really interested.
Which is good, considering you're a father of two. And the chances of you seeing a new movie are very slim.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious, though. You and I have never talked about this. You don't seem... speculating here, but you don't seem to be a big sequels guy. You know, in general, for the most part.
You know, it's... I've never really thought about it. And it also depends on your definition of sequels. Now, go to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yes, they have sequels, but this is a larger story they're telling, this huge tapestry, just like comic books, which is where they got their thing from. So to me, that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Making a sequel just because something is successful, I'm really, you know, not that interested.
See eye to eye on that. Yes, on that, I'm 100% with you on. And I don't know if this is a cash grab or if they really do want to continue the story.
Hard to say.
I will say Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder coming back. You got me there.
Of course.
Ortega is playing Lydia's daughter. And that, I think, is perfect casting.
It is very
especially
good,
with her playing the Wednesday role.
Oh, man,
and everything.
Yes.
Monica Bellucci is in this, and I love her work.
Oh, she's great.
And William Dafoe, Catherine O'Hara. I mean, nice cast.
Glad that Catherine O'Hara's coming back.
Yes.
She's very, very underused, by the way. She's great.
Any chance to talk about Second City's own Catherine O'Hara, I'm going to take it. And the most anticipated movie of 2024, according to Fandango's survey, Deadpool 3.
That totally makes sense to me.
One, there is not a ton of, as we touched on, not a ton of these type of movies coming out this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that's immediately going to get people to want to see it. But there is, of course, the Deadpool fan base that has been very strong. And then, you're bringing back, just as a side note here, Wolverine. Hugh Jackman is reprising the character that he was not going to do.
He said he was done.
Him and Ryan Reynolds are very close friends.
Yes, they are.
And Ryan Reynolds is one of these guys. He will let you know he is not going to leave you alone. If he wants you to do something, he's not going to leave you alone about it.
Darn annoying Canadians.
He finally got Hugh Jackman to be on the fence about it. Like, look, you come up with a great idea, a great script. You can get the suits to agree and the lawyers to agree and everything. I'll do it. So Ryan, and he didn't think that would happen, though. Hugh Jackman knows the industry better than I do and most, and he knew that the idea of getting this character on that show is very difficult to do with all you look behind the scenes and all the copyright issues and attorneys and lawyers and all this, let alone he said he wasn't going to do the role anymore. And he's one of these guys, he says something, he really wants to stand on his word. It's very important to Hugh Jackman. But he got the script. Everything else went okay, and most importantly to him, the fans wanted him to come back. So he's doing it.
Yeah,
and he is going to be co-leading in this with Ryan Reynolds. He's not just it's not just a cameo or something like that.
No, he's starring.
He's starring in the movie with him as Wolverine and in the old X-Men Wolverine costume.
The yellow, the classic, the original yellow, which is, that part is cool. I love that.
No spoilers, earmuffs if you have not seen Logan or seen some of the other Wolverine movies. They do kill off the character. So bringing the character back, everybody's fascinated in how they do that. And we all know time travel and all
that. God bless the multiverse. That's all I'm going to
say. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's probably going to be part of it. But we got to wait to find out. We'll see.
Is this, and just a real quick side note on this, is this not just a, okay, we all know the MCU is kind of in, transition period. Let's say transition period right now.
Yeah.
The old model, not quite working the way it was before. So they have decided to, you know, to flip the script a little bit and do that. I think this is a brilliant move. The only movie they're releasing this year is Deadpool. Super popular. They're gonna be cleaning up, because this is gonna take place at least partially adjacent to the MCU.
Yes.
They're probably gonna figure out a way to do stuff like that. I think this is a very, very smart move by Kevin Feige and the whole crew over there. I think they're doing damage control, but I think they're doing it in a very smart way.
Just some honorable mentions real quick. Argyle is coming out on February 2nd. This one looks kind of good. Henry Cavill is in this. It's based on Matthew Vaughn. Matthew Vaughn directed it. Bryce Dallas Howard, who I really like, is in this as well. And it's got some nice actors in it. A bunch of actors I really like. Lisa Frankenstein is out February 9th, written by Diablo Cody, who has won some Oscars before.
Yeah, she's very good.
And done some great work. And I gotta get this in without getting broken up. It's directed by Zelda Williams.
Zelda Williams.
And if that name sounds familiar to you, that is Robin Williams' oldest child.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or I believe his oldest, second
one of his daughter. Yeah, but, I totally forgot that he named his daughter Zelda. Totally went right by it.
This is her directorial debut.
How cool is that?
I will go see this in the theaters, and I am extremely excited about supporting this great young lady.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see. And of course, if there's any movies you guys want to hear us talk about or preview or hear about or anything, any of the above, let us know.
Or want to send us to, you know, pay for our tickets and send us to, we'd be willing to review it that way too.
We will definitely do that. We are not above that. No.
So we got one more quick segment here on Director's Cut before we wrap up the show. We'll be right back.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 13. South winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour at times. For Monday, cloudy skies, 30 degrees. Some freezing drizzle or snow from Monday night into Tuesday. Lows in the mid-20s. Highs on Tuesday, around 33.
Right now, it's 15.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you ever jumped in an ice-cold lake for a good cause? It's Polar Plunge fundraising time for Special Olympics Wisconsin. 8 locations, with the first February 3rd in Wisconsin Rapids. It helps support the Special Olympics Winter Games in Wausau the following weekend.
Our Winter State Games include the sports of cross-country skiing, downhill skiing, snowboarding, and snowshoeing.
Ashley Hansen is with Special Olympics and says the plunge also supports fair health care for their athletes.
Offering new training for medical staff is really important to make sure that people with intellectual disabilities are receiving the same care that you or I would.
Find information for the plunge, winter games, and more at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Director's Cut. Seth and James featured here. We just got a couple of minutes left. I thought it'd be fun to kind of wrap up with trigger warnings we'd like to see on some movies. Most movies, most TV shows have a warning that, you know, these scenes will
explicit
take place.
Content.
Yeah, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Well, let's have some more modern ones here. Let's have some ones that actually really help us. Like, for the movie Elvis, Tom Hanks does this really weird thing with his voice. He probably should have warned people about that one.
I love that idea. Weird accent coming up. Yeah.
What about the TV show Lost? You are about to commit 6 years of your life to a show with a horrible ending.
Ooh. See, now you could. There's a couple of shows that I can think of. Now, again, these are all shows that I never watched. Okay, Lost was one of them. But from what I have heard from the fans,
yes.
I know the ending Soprano was polarizing, but there were people who liked it, people who really didn't like it.
True.
Pretty much consensus, Game of Thrones. Was really bad from what I've heard. So
you can reuse this one. You know, you might have to change the years, but you can reuse this one a number of times. This one is just a note from me, and it's not only attached to Marley and Me, but any movie with a dog, the dog dies. Tell people, all right? Like, come on. You know how I feel about spoilers. You know how I am about spoilers. One of my biggest pet peeves in the world, but it is one of the cruelest things there is to make a movie where the dog is made. The movie's about the dog, and we all know, we've all read Old Yeller.
I was gonna say Old Yeller. It's the blueprint right there, man.
It's a trope. It's low hanging fruit. Quit doing this. Quit doing this to us. Quit
do you
doing
watch
this
destroy
to
your audience? Just kill a dog. That's all you need to do.
That's it. Like 20 humans could die in that movie.
Who cares?
And we're okay. But the dog dies. Oh my God! How could they? Like, stop doing that, Hollywood. Stop it.
Well, I've heard that the best way to make a villain really bad is have him hurt an animal.
Yes.
And then the audience will turn against them like you wouldn't believe.
They made the whole John Wick franchise basically off of that. Yeah. It works. Like 4 movies you got out of that one. Now, they have in here in this notes, Jar Jar Binks may enrage you for Star Wars Episode 1. I actually think that the Star Wars movies should all come with a disclaimer. Half of the people are going to like it. Half of them aren't. Just we know just that now.
Split it 50-50 now. You know, it's very much the truth.
Come out of this movie understanding that your Star Wars friends are going to all feel differently about this.
The brilliant thing about Star Wars, though, is that because now it's in the continuity, they still have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's true.
How are you going to deal with it? And they have to. That's I think that's why some Star Wars fans get so upset, is because they know they can't get away from Rise of Skywalker, whatever, whenever they hated, you know, or the prequels or something. They still have to pay attention to them.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. And for like the holiday, or it's complicated, or any of these movies with a really, really beautiful exteriors and homes and everything, the disclaimer, you will never be able to afford this beautiful home.
Oh, no. No.
Chances are most of us never will be able to.
Imagine the sitcoms, especially in the 90s, where everyone lived in New York. They all had fabulous apartments. And they were like what, data entry people?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Or they didn't work at all, apparently.
Yeah, half of them, you never saw them on the job, usually.
No, not at all.
You've seen Homer Simpson on the job more than you have, like, in any of those TV shows back in the day.
That's at least more, the cartoon is more realistic than the 90s sitcoms, I'm telling you.
That's going to wrap up the show for us, everybody. But just, again, another quick reminder, we are always open for guests. We're always open for co-hosts if you want to join us on the show or you have a topic idea. And certainly to you artists out there, calling all artists, we want you on our show. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Seth and I hope to do this show for a long time, but whenever it wraps up, I want to be able to look back and say, wow, we got them all. We got all the artists.
That is ambitious.
Yeah.
But I also want to put it out there for those of you who don't think, you know, well, what I do is not art. We are willing to take all comers. If you do something mm-hmm. interesting, we would love to hear, especially if it's a little bit off the beaten path, a little unusual. We'd love to get exposure to it, to however big our audience is. We would love to have you come on and talk about what it is you do. And because we, both of us, we love to learn. And yes. I'm sure most of our listeners are the same way.
Absolutely. So we truly mean it by calling all artists, not just musicians and actors and performers, but painters and photographers, writers, mm-hmm. all of you.
All of
reach
it.
Out to us and join us on Director's Cut. Maybe you'll be on the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back again next week. And have a great week coming up here. And thanks for listening to Director's Cut.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at